Democratic and Republican.
We're going to go out and we will create more and better jobs. And we will be in a great state again.
The city council is considering whether to put a measure on the ballot.
I'm very concerned about our budget.
Governor Rick.
It's Wednesday, the morning we talk with Michigan Radio's political analyst Jack Lessenberry about what's going on in state politics. Well, Jack, Governor Snyder has signed bills meant to keep cash-strapped school districts from becoming insolvent. The laws allow the state or intermediate school districts to intervene earlier when schools are in financial trouble. Democrats worry the laws make it easier for the state to appoint an emergency manager. Is this a good move for schools?
Well, we don't really know. There is something in these bills that the schools like, namely they replenish the loan fund, but it also provides for some early warning signs when school districts are in trouble. And of course, districts tend to fear emergency managers, although some of them have actually requested one. They estimate that these new rules are going to affect about 140 of Michigan's 540-some traditional school districts and maybe a sixth of the charter schools. So we'll just have to wait and see, but you can make an argument on both sides as to whether this is a good thing or not.
On the topic of higher education, Oakland University is hiking tuition by more than 8%. Now, that's one of the biggest tuition increases from a state school so far this year. The state has a rule that in order to receive state incentives, schools aren't supposed to increase tuition more than 3.2%. But some schools are enacting big increases. What does this mean for universities and colleges, and what does this mean for college students?
Well, what it means, first of all, is that the state incentives are largely a farce. Oakland University will give up $1 million in order to make about $12 million more. And of course, it makes things harder for the students, but Oakland University students pay less tuition than most other students in the state. And additionally, higher education has been systematically starved by the state for a number of years. They're getting much less money than they were in 2000, say. So the universities argue they need to do this. The state is a bit hypocritical in imposing these sanctions. If the sanctions were larger and amounted to something, or they were coupled with more money for the schools, probably fewer schools would do that. But I think this is the second school so far, Eastern being the first, to sort of bust the cap, and I'm surprised more of them haven't.
This week, a new audit showed that the state of Michigan improperly spent $1.7 million on health care for former inmates. It also showed that corrections workers might not have adequately monitored the health of some inmates with serious conditions. What's going on here?
Well, of course, the prison system is a huge bureaucracy with currently 44,000 or so inmates. What seems to happen with the $1.7 million shortfall is that when you're in custody, the state arranges for you to have free medical care, often with outside doctors. And some of these prisoners, when they were released or paroled, kept going to the same doctors, and the doctors billed the prison system, and it got paid before somebody finally caught it. But it sort of illustrates, again, the kind of irrationality of our health care system in that the only time people get decent health care is when they're behind bars.
And finally, this week, Michigan Radio is airing a series of stories and interviews about Michigan's post-9/11 veterans. Beyond the Battlefield is looking at how these vets are faring as they reintegrate into civilian life. Has anything struck you about the plight of Michigan vets today?
One thing that struck me is that for older people, older baby boomers and people older than that, in our time, prior to the end of the Vietnam War, everybody was subject to a military draft, so that you had a much wider range of veterans across social classes. In World War II, and even in Vietnam, it was not uncommon to have some people from the upper middle classes serve or have to serve. That's not true anymore. Today's veterans are largely people on the bottom end of the socioeconomic ladder. People in policymaking decisions often know few or no actual veterans, and I think it's easier for them to sort of unfortunately get lost in the shuffle.
All right, Jack, thanks a lot.
Have a great day.